Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight. We're beginning in chapter 16, verse 13 on Armageddon. We're looking at the seven angels on the seven last bowl judgments in the book of Revelation. I don't know if you've been listening, but I've had an opportunity this week to listen to quite a bit. But the other night on television on AHC, which is American Heroes Channel, they did a whole segment on Armageddon. They did a whole segment on Revelation and predictions and prophecies, and it was quite interesting. It was interesting to hear some of the various takes about it, but it's certainly out there in the news before us. There are people that know and believe that the Bible is true, and there are those out there who are skeptics and cynical. But nonetheless, as Buck sang about a few moments ago, you don't want to get too adjusted to this world, because with everything that's happening right now all over the world, I can assure you, signs of the time are in the air. In verse 13, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon." Now notice this part here is about Armageddon. When we speak about Armageddon, we oftentimes think that that is the final battle. But the Armageddon is a series of different conflicts. And while, yes, it will be in the end of time, there are several conflicts that come out of all of that. "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon." Now remember, the dragon here is a symbolic picture of Satan. "And out of the mouth of the beast," and the word beast there is representative of the Antichrist. "And out of the mouth of the beast," and out of the mouth of the false prophet, he's the one that will be leading up the one world false religion, "three unclean spirits like frogs." He's speaking here about demonism and demonic spirits. Now, if you have any inkling of what's going on in the world today in the latter part of end time events, there's going to be a great intensity in demonic spirits and all of these sort of things. And there's been stuff in the news for the last several weeks about some of these issues that are going on in the world that you and I live in. And so this verse 13, John speaks about the dragon, which is Satan, the beast, which is the one world dictator and the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These you and I would look at as the unholy Trinity. While there is the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Satan has his unholy Trinity, which is Satan, the Antichrist, and the one world leader of the world false religion. There have been a lot in the news in the last few days on this World Economic Forum, on this one world government. It comes under the guise of several different names. It is out there called the Great Reset. It's called globalization. It's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's got several names attached to it so as to really deceive and disguise what's going on. It's really interesting, as I've listened to several video casts that I have received this past week that I ordered based on this. The head of the World Economic Forum, and the one that began it, the one that started it, and it was instituted in 1971, Klaus Schwab, who is a history professor, or has been there in Germany. He's of German descent, and his roots go back to his father that was part of the Nazi Hitler regime. And one of the podcasts that I listened to today calls it the Fourth Reich. And if any of you have ever kept up with the history of the German Reich and all of those things, you can understand what's happening. And as I listened to one of those speakers today, many of them that were on there, speaking about this one world vision, this one world reset, this one world government, and how that everything is going to be better. And by the year 2030, you know, they don't want you to own anything, and you won't own anything, and but you'll be happier than you've ever been. It's really amazing, really, when you listen to that and see some of these world heads of various organizations that are out there all over the world. And these people that meet together once a year at least in Davos, Switzerland, but also sometimes they meet more than once a year. But they've already got things down from surveillance of how to keep up with the world, how to keep up with everybody, and it all goes back to this digital thing and the mRNA that's in the vaccines and all of this kind of stuff. It's pretty frightening. It's pretty scary when you listen to it, and they list the things, and they're pretty out there open about a lot of what they believe. In fact, one of them speaks about when you get through listening to him, half the time you're wondering, where did he originate from? Where did he even come from? But he was speaking about how that we can become gods ourselves. And that is what's out there in the world today. It's really frightening. It's scary. If you didn't have the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, it is very frightening to see and to think what's going on and how they are coercing people through the COVID situation and everything about that today, and all of those different leaders, heads of finances and heads of states and heads of big time, the elite, the quote unquote global elite leaders of the world that are involved in this and wanting this all to come about, how that people will be tracked, they will know everything about you. It talked about the cashless society, of going to this digital currency, this world banking system that would be digitally controlled. They would know everything there is to know about every human being, every person, where they are, what they're doing, what they're involved in. It's quite frightening when you think about it, especially to the teeming millions out there that will succumb to the deception of all of this. And so a lot of it on there was about the COVID and how that was all brought about, and how the American people had been lied to. People all over the world were lied to about it, and it did not do what it was supposed to do. And they even had Mark Zuckerberg on there making a comment that they had no idea what the mRNA and what it would do to your DNA and the changes that it possibly can make in the future, and they don't even know. And told about how many people had already died from all of that. And so it's really interesting. It's very easy to see how that during the days of Nazi Germany, how that the masses of the people began to fall in line and worship Adolf Hitler. And folks, let me tell you what, I can see how people will bow and fall and bend and will be the first ones to line up to do whatever they want you to do. It's very, very easy to see if you listen to these videos. And those came from, I got them off of Olive Tree Ministries. Many of these speakers, they had it backed up. It wasn't just a bunch of hoopla. It was all backed up with facts. It was backed up with different speakers who were speaking from all of those various angles. And, you know, to me, it's just a picture of where we are in the book of Revelation and what's happening and what's going on. In verse 13 of chapter 16, we're looking at, in chapter 16, there were seven angels with seven bowls or pans of judgments that are given to them to cast to the earth, the last seven plagues of the judgments of Almighty God. These, of course, will be in the latter part of the last half of the tribulation. And now we see in verse 13 that this unholy trinity, these unclean spirits, of course, which deals with demonic spirits. And then notice in verse 14, for they are spirits of demons. Now notice, it's really interesting, if you look at the Bible long enough and you read long enough, it interprets a lot of itself. So what we are given in verse 13 is demonstrated for us in verse 14, and it identifies these unclean spirits, for they are spirits of demons. And notice what they're doing. They're performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Now, what he's referring to there is these demonic spirits are going to, in the future, go out into the world to the various kings of the world to draw them into this great war of the great day of God. The great war when they're fighting against the nation of Israel there in the valley of Esdraelon. That's a 200-mile long, 100-mile wide place where this great battle or will eventually culminate and end in. And notice what happens. They're performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world. Why? To gather them. Who's the them? The peoples of the world, these leaders, to gather for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. As you well know, in that final battle that's taking place, then they will see Christ coming in the second advent, the second coming, with the church and with the host of heaven, and they will turn from their fighting the nation of Israel, and those gathered there in battle, they'll turn to try to fight Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth. Verse 15, behold, notice, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame. This is all speaking about when Christ comes again. When he comes, he's going to come like a thief. Let me tell you, if the landowner knew that the thief was coming, he would be prepared. And this verse is speaking about for people to blessed, that word blessed means happy, is the one who stays awake. You see, in the world that you and I are living in the world that you and I are presently in, and we're bombarded from all directions, you can see how that Satan is alive and well, and his demonic spirits are working in the world. And we see that now that is happening among the Methodist denomination, how that they are getting ready, and many of them have already voted, and some are getting ready to vote next week on whether their church will remain the same, whether it will no longer remain the same. And the demonic spirit that's out there in the world is doing this to bring deception, to bring division. And we see this everywhere that's going on. We see it in liberalism. We see it with liberal theology out there that's in the world. And those things are not just among the Methodist denomination. They're among a lot of various denominations. And so once again, Satan is doing everything that he can in order to deceive mankind. And a lot of people are totally, totally unaware of what's happening. I mean, if I believe in my lifetime, if there ever was a time that I believe that people are unaware, it's today. I believe, and the reason I say that is because of of the statistic that I gave you last Sunday morning, how that it was in the news last week in several of the main newspapers around the world that in America, Christianity is declining. Faith is declining. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last of days. The great falling away, the great apostasy, of people falling away from the faith. Verse 16 says, and they gathered them together. Now, who gathered them together? These evil spirits, these demonic spirits that are going to gather, they're going to perform signs, which will be attractive to the various kings of the earth around the world, that will coerce them, that will deceive them, that will draw them into this great day of God Almighty, this battle that's going to come. That's why verse 15, where it says, behold, I'm coming like a thief, speaking about how quickly these things will begin to happen, and talking about happy is the one, or blessed is the one who stays awake. Let me tell you, folks, there are still some out there trying to be watchmen on the wall and watchmen by speaking truth from the book of Revelation, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, the book of Joel, the book of Amos, the book of Zechariah. Must I go on? It's all recorded there from the ancient prophecies of old all the way through the New Testament. It's going to come to pass. And they gathered them, these demonic spirits are going to bring this group together of kings of the earth to the place which in Hebrew is called Harmageddon. The word har there means mount. Mageddon, Megiddo, over there in Israel, in the Holy Land. And this will be this great place of where this final battle or these campaigns will culminate into the final battle. Verse 17, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. Remember when Jesus said, tetelestai, on the cross, it is finished. Notice there, it is done. Verse 18, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. I don't know if any of you have watched in the wake of the catastrophic earthquake that was 7.8 magnitude in Turkey and Syria. But let me tell you, it's unbelievable. It's phenomenal to see. They believe there's as many as 180,000 that they think are probably already dead. People that are under rubble, that are crying out for them to rescue them. And the rubble of those tall buildings that is just concrete and steel placed upon those people. And they have no idea what is going to be the aftermath of all of this. But folks, I want you to know, the other night on television, on the AHC channel that was speaking about Armageddon and the book of Revelation and end time events and what was happening, they brought up Oklahoma and all of the tremors that are happening over the state of Oklahoma, not to mention all over the world. The earth is quaking. I'm reminded every time I hear about it, even though I understand it's the tectonic plates underneath the earth's surface and the crust and the core of the earth and the heat and all of those things and as those plates move. But I'm also reminded when I see that and hear that of the truth of the book of Revelation that one of these days there's coming an earthquake to this world like has never, ever happened in all the world. The book of Revelation says that. When I saw what happened there in Syria and Turkey, and I thought to myself, you know, without warning, it hadn't happened in 100 years, according to one of the news articles. If you can only imagine that you and I, no wonder Solomon said many years ago in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 1, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. And folks, let me tell you how true that is. Verse 18, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake. That word great, how many times have we already seen that in the book of Revelation? And when you see that word great, it is the great, humongous intensity of trying to explain how very devastating, how incredibly catastrophic these events are going to be. And there was a great earthquake. Notice, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. I think God created man in the book of Genesis on the sixth day, if I remember correctly. According to this earthquake that's coming one of these days, it says, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth, so great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. Folks, let me tell you, all over the world, people are either running to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing to receive the wonderful eternal gift of grace, or they are totally rejecting that. Notice verse 19, the word great again. The great city, that's speaking of Jerusalem, was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And notice what happens in this earthquake. Verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each. Have y'all ever been hit by a hailstone, just a little pebble? Well, can you imagine if it weighed 100 pounds? Came down from heaven upon men. And notice what men did. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Let me tell you, the world looks at the book of Revelation, and for the most part, they see it as a total legend, a myth. For the preterists who take the view, they believe all of this happened back in AD 70. That's what that view that studies the book of Revelation believes. They believe it's all past tense, all in the past, but it could not be. It could not be, because things that were prophesied in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah and Joel and Amos and some of those things have never been fulfilled yet. So it couldn't be past. It has to be future. Now I want to talk a little bit about Babylon. There in verse 19, the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. Now, the great city here, I believe, is speaking about Babylon the Great. Also there in the city of Jerusalem, of course, this battle that's taking place there, but it said the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations, plural, fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. Now, I want to stop there for a minute, and we won't get into chapter 17, but we will get into it Sunday night. But I want to talk about Babylon, because you and I need to understand it. Of all the cities that are mentioned in the Bible, the most recognized city in all the Bible is the city of Jerusalem. The second one that is represented secondly is Babylon. Now, Revelation chapter 16 completes the pouring out of these last seven bold judgments that reaches to the campaign of this Armageddon battle. Now, but before Armageddon is fully described and the second coming of Christ is unveiled over when we get to chapter 19, there's a sudden pause here. There's an interlude in the main action. You see, before Christ returns, one final event must be addressed. It's the demise or the fall of Babylon the Great. Now, in Revelation, one out of every 10 verses concerns Babylon. There are two entire chapters, so therefore it's obviously greatly important to God, or the Holy Spirit wouldn't have breathed upon John to put this in. But in the book of Revelation, there are two entire chapters, chapter 17 and chapter 18, are going to be devoted to Babylon, this city, and its destruction. Now, obviously, Babylon holds a key place in the mind of God and in His final plans for the ages. Babylon, the earthly city, here is presented in Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18 as, get this, you must understand this, that it is pictured as a vile prostitute. In sharp contrast, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is pictured as the virtuous bride of Christ in Revelation 21 and 22. Now, while the message is clear, the identification of Babylon is a little more difficult. There have been a great deal of speculation about the identity of this city, Babylon, this great prostitute of the last days. It's been identified with the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican. It's been identified with apostate Christendom. It's been identified with the United States, New York City, Rome, or some unknown great metropolis that will emerge in the end times. Now, what great city is John describing? Well, there are seven clues in Revelation 17 and 18 that are going to help us. But I want to go ahead and look at a few of those tonight. Babylon, according to Revelation 17 and 18, and we'll look at this further on Sunday evening, but Babylon, I believe, is a literal city. I believe it's a literal city. And Revelation 17 and verse 18, in fact, let's just look at verse 18 for just a minute for tonight. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, remember, John is using this city of Babylon like a vile prostitute because of the idolatry, the immorality, and all that will represent in final days. Babylon is a city of worldwide importance and influence. It will probably be the capital city where the Antichrist will rule from. Babylon and the beast, the Antichrist, are very closely connected to each other. The woman, speaking of Babylon, is pictured riding on the beast. That's the Antichrist. We see that in Revelation 17. Babylon is a center of false religion. Babylon is the center of world finances and commerce. Babylon persecutes God's people. Babylon will be destroyed suddenly and completely at the end of the tribulation, according to Revelation 18, never to rise again. Now, those clues reveal that Babylon is going to function not only as a place of religion, but it's going to function as a place of commerce. When I listened to one of those podcasts today on this world banking system and this digital currency thing where cash will no longer be king. Cash will no longer be used. And when this all takes place and all of this comes about and all of this happens, let me tell you, people are going to have surveillance all over the world to know exactly where every dime that you have is spent. If you're here during this part of this time in the book of Revelation. Now, these two systems, Babylon, the religious center, as well as the commerce center, they will share the same geographical location under the Antichrist, his domain. It will be both a city as well as a system. The best view is, I believe, that Babylon is the literal city of Babylon on the Euphrates in modern Iraq that will be rebuilt in the last days. Now that's the Mark Hitchcock in his end time events. Mark Hitchcock is quoted from all of these prophecy guys. That's in his book. That's what he says. There are others that think it will be in Rome and the Vatican, and some think it'll be in New York City, and there are various ideas that people come up with. He says the best view is that Babylon is the literal city of Babylon on the Euphrates in modern Iraq that will be rebuilt in the last days. And he gives seven main reasons why he favors this identification. Now, you may have a different idea, and that's fine. You can take your interpretation, because many of these are speculations by different one. However, he gives his scriptural reasons for it. He says, first, Revelation specifically refers to last days, capital of the Antichrist, as Babylon, six different times. Chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, and chapter 10. He goes on and says it's possible that the name Babylon is a code name for Rome, New York, Jerusalem, or some other world city. But since the text does not indicate that it is to be interpreted figuratively or symbolically, it's best to interpret it as referring to a literal city called Babylon. He said, when John wants to indicate that a geographical location is symbolic, John does so very clearly. Otherwise, the geographical places in Revelation are literal, as in those letters to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He speaks about Patmos and Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Philadelphia and Sardis and Laodicea, and he also speaks about Armageddon. Now, with that being literal interpretation for places, Mark Hitchcock says, I believe Babylon should also be taken literally. Secondly, his reasoning for it being the literal city of Babylon there on the Euphrates. Babylon is the most mentioned city in the Bible other than the city of Jerusalem. Scripture refers to Babylon about 300 times. Throughout the scripture, Babylon symbolizes the epitome or the essence of evil and rebellion against God. For example, Babylon's the city where man first began to worship himself in rebellion against God. Genesis chapter 11. Babylon was both a literal city and the entire anti-God system that went with it. Babylon was the capital city of the first world ruler. Remember Nimrod, when he was going to build the Tower of Babel, and God said, let us go down there and confound the language, and the languages caused people to be scattered all over the world, not being able to understand each other. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple in 586 BC. Babylon was the capital city of the first four Gentile world empires that ruled over Jerusalem. We studied that in the book of Daniel. You'll remember that, Babylon, the Mede Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. So he says, since Babylon was the first capital city of the first world ruler, and scripture pictures it as Satan's capital city on earth, he says it makes sense that in end times, he will once again raise up this city as the capital city of the final world ruler. Charles Dyer wrote a book called The Rise of Babylon. He said this, Dyer said, throughout history, Babylon has represented the height of rebellion and opposition to God's plans and purposes. So God allows Babylon to continue during the final days. It's almost though he calls her out for a final duel, but this time the conflict between God and Babylon ends decisively. The city of Babylon will be destroyed. Hitchcock gives a third reason for why he believes Babylon will be a literal city over there on the Euphrates in the Iraq area. Third, he says Babylon fits the criteria for the city that's described in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Robert Thomas says this, Babylon on the Euphrates has a location that fits this description politically, geographically, and in all of the qualities of accessibility, commercial facilities, remoteness of interferences of church and state, and yet centrality in regard to the trade of the whole world. And then Dr. Henry Morris, who has written a great commentary on the book of Revelation, he says this, Babylon is indeed a prime prospect for rebuilding, entirely apart from any prophetic imitations. Its location is the most ideal in the world for any kind of international center. Not only is it in the beautiful and the fertile Tigris-Euphrates plain, but it's near some of the world's richest oil reserves. Computer studies for the Institute of Creation Research have shown, for example, that Babylon is very near the geographical center of all the Earth's land masses. It's within navigable distances to the Persian Gulf. It's at the crossroads of the three great continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. Thus, Dr. Morris says, there's no more ideal location anywhere for a world trade center, a world communication center, a world banking center, a world educational center, or especially a world capital. The greatest historian of modern times, Arnold Toynbee, used to stress to all his readers and hearers that Babylon would be the best place in the world to build a future world cultural metropolis. So, that's his third reason. Fourth reason, the Euphrates River, and by the way, the Euphrates River was in the news today. It's drying up. It's got little rain that's coming to it. But notice, he says, the Euphrates River is mentioned by name twice in Revelation 9:14 and in Revelation chapter 16:12. The ancient city of Babylon straddled the Euphrates River in Revelation 9:14. Four fallen angels are being held at the Euphrates River, awaiting the appointed time for them to lead forth a host of demons to destroy one-third of mankind. In Revelation 16:12, the Euphrates River dries up to prepare the way for the kings of the East. That's the kings of the Orient. These references to the Euphrates point to the fact that something important and evil is occurring there. The rebuilt city of Babylon on the Euphrates functioning as a religious and political center for the Antichrist is a good explanation for Revelation's emphasis on the Euphrates River. A fifth reason Hitchcock gives is why he believes it to be this way. The prophet Zechariah, writing about 20 years after Babylon's fall during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, to the Medo-Persians, saw a future time when evil would return to its original place in Babylon. You can read that in Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. In that vision, Zechariah sees a woman. Remember, the woman here is referring to Babylon, the city, the commerce city, and the city of religion, as the vile prostitute. In his vision, Zechariah sees a woman who is named Wickedness. Then he sees this woman carried away in a basket to the land of Babylon, where a temple will be built for her. And he says the parallels between Zechariah 5, 5 through 11 and Revelation 17 and 18 are very striking. He says God's word teaches that wickedness again will rear its ugly head in the same place where it began, over there in Genesis in Babylon. The prostitute in John's vision will fulfill Zechariah chapter 5 when Babylon is established as the city that embodies evil. And then his sixth reason, believing that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt on the Tigris River there in the area of Iraq. He says that his sixth reason is that Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50:51 predicted that the city of Babylon would be destroyed suddenly and completely. Babylon was never destroyed in this way, but died a long, slow death over many centuries. Since Babylon has yet to be destroyed in the way the prophets predicted, by being destroyed suddenly and completely, these passages must refer to a future city of Babylon that will totally be destroyed in the day of the Lord. His seventh reason for believing this Babylon literal city to be rebuilt and to be there in the area of Iraq, there at the Euphrates River, he says, seventhly, because Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 clearly describes the city of Babylon on the Euphrates. The many parallels between Jeremiah 50 and 51 and the future Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 indicate that both are describing the same city. So he gives those seven reasons and scriptural references of why he believes that the Antichrist's capital will someday be at a place that is rebuilt, Babylon, on the Euphrates River, there as it was in the beginning of time in Genesis. So he says, putting all of these pieces together, it appears that Babylon will be rebuilt in the last days to serve as this religious and commercial capital for the Antichrist empire. Now, a few moments we saw that prostitute, this vile, wicked prostitute, was riding on the beast. It appears that for a while, this one world false prophet that leads up this one world false religion has some sway over the Antichrist. But there will come a point in that last part of the tribulation that the Antichrist will turn even against the false prophet and set himself up to be worshiped as God. Now, putting all these pieces together, let me give you what J. Vernon McGee suggests the important role that Babylon is yet to play in future days. J. Vernon McGee says, in that day, Babylon will dominate and rule the world. The capital of the Antichrist, he says, will be Babylon, and he will have the first total dictatorship. The world will be an awful place. In that day, everything will center in Babylon. The stock market will be red from Babylon, not New York. Babylon, instead of Paris, will set the styles for the world. A play to be successful will have to be a success in Babylon, not London. Everything in the city will be in rebellion against Almighty God, and it centers in Antichrist. He says, from the time of Genesis, chapter 10 and 11, remember where Nimrod wanted to build the Tower of Babel, which was man's way of creating his own religion based upon his own works. Babylon has represented both a city and a religious system that arose in that city back in Genesis. Babylon is a literal geographical location on the Euphrates River, but it also represents the false religious system that began in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, when for the first time man organized a religion in rebellion against God. Babylon is the birthplace of worldwide religion. The false religion spread out from there to all of the other major nations of the earth. Babylon, in its final form, here in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, 18, is again a system as well as a city. And he says the location is clearly the same in both Revelation 17 and 18. However, Revelation 17 and 18 describe two different aspects of the same Babylon. And those are the religious Babylon as well as the commercial Babylon. One will be the part of it will be a system of a false religion. It will be where the world's commerce and finances will be controlled from. And then in Revelation chapter 17, and I want to begin there on Sunday night. So on Sunday evening, we will look at chapter 17, the doom of the city of Babylon, just as predicted in the Bible from Zechariah and others, that the city would be suddenly destroyed, completely destroyed, and would not ever be built again. So Babylon is a very hugely important city in the book of Revelation. So as we conclude for this evening, I hope that you are understanding as much as I possibly know how. Now, there are others that think Babylon will be another city. If you subscribe to that, that's your interpretation and your opinion. I'm just basing it upon several of these writers that I like, that I agree with them. They lay out all those details. They lay out all those scriptures. And according to what we've looked at tonight, it would appear that that would make total and complete sense, that that would be where the Antichrist will head up the world during the days of the tribulation and in that last 3.5 years. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together? Please be safe going out into the rain, slick parking lot, and hope to see you back on Sunday morning. Amen. God bless you for being here. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Help us as we study that we might understand, discern, be aware, be awake to realize where we are today and where this world is headed and going. Take each one safely to their home, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.